year's resolutions to bring our Bibles with us. Unless you can memorize your Bibles, then I forgive you for that. So if you can memorize your Bibles, then you can go to church without any Bible at all. But again, one of the New Year's resolutions that we might have is to bring God's Word with us. Bring God's Word with us. The psalmist says that thy Word is a lamp to my feet. God's Word, the Bible, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In order for us to understand the things of God, in order for us to understand the mind of God, then we have to read our Bibles on a regular basis, because this is where God reveals Himself to us. God does not reveal Himself in a primary way through other things, but through His Word, the Bible. So hopefully one of our New Year's resolutions is for us to bring our Bibles every Sunday and read it on a regular basis. And I think it would also be best for us to start the year right. Oftentimes when we come here to church, we make our entrance in the middle of the worship service. So I think it would be best for us to be on time, right? Be on time for worship, be on time for Sunday school, be on time for many, many opportunities of service to our Lord during this year. So again, make that as one of your resolutions. And don't break it. Don't break it at the end of January. Hopefully you will fulfill it even up to the end of the year 2012. So Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, very short verses for reading today. Shall we all stand as we give reverence to the Word of God? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And take note of verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let us pray. May the words of our mouth, O God, and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our strength. In Jesus' name. Congregation may be seated. Last weekend, when we met here for worship, we had the rare privilege of celebrating Christmas, or the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, on a Sunday. And what made this celebration rather unusual was the fact that this year, Christmas fell on a worship day. So it fell on a Sunday. So instead of oversleeping as we used to do in the past Christmases, this year we have to get ready to go to church. How many of you went to church last Sunday? Yeah, how many of you did not oversleep? So you were here. So we have to get ready to go to church, even if on Christmas Eve we stayed up late, or perhaps we were still awake until the early hours of the following day, which is already a Sunday. Now, whatever our experience last weekend, I hope that it did not escape your attention that we have a repeat of this of what happened last weekend this weekend, in a sense that New Year's Day again falls on a Sunday, which means that if we stayed up late last night to welcome 2012, or we did not sleep at all, we really have to take the extra effort to be here today on this very first worship service we have for the new year 2012. In the Philippines, we have this long-time belief. I don't know how this really happened. I don't know if this tradition is valid. But in the Philippines, we have this long-time belief that if you find yourself in church on the first Sunday of the new year, chances are you will be consistent in attending church for the rest of the year. I don't really know if being here today will ensure regularity in your worship service attendance, but whatever the reason for your coming here today, it is my prayer that your primary desire for the year 2012, for the new year, is that you will honor God and seek greater heights of service for Him. In light of the fact that another new year is upon us, I would like to invite you to open your Bibles once again to Hebrews chapter 12. So again, be ready with your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12. But this time, we will be focusing our attention on verse 2 only. So verse 2 only. I would like to say at the outset that I have chosen this singular verse as the text of today's sermon because this is where we find a very clear call or a very clear invitation for each one of us to lift up our Lord Jesus Christ and to fix our eyes on Him, especially as we face the year 2012. As we are all aware, we are not really sure what this new year will bring us, whether this year will be better than the previous one. But whatever the case may be, we have the confidence that we will make it through this year on the basis of the guidelines which the Word of God, the Bible, provides for us. So as we look into our text in greater detail, there are at least three important things that I would like to point out for consideration. And it is my hope that as I do so, these things, these three important things, will serve as reminders to us even as we face another year. So are you ready with these three important things? Number one, as we face the new year 2012, the very first thing that we need to be reminded about is that we have to fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ, who is described here in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12 as the author and perfecter of our faith. So first thing that we need to do in order for us to really face the new year with great confidence is to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, who is described here in verse 2 as the author and perfecter of our faith. Now the word fix in this verse comes from a Greek word that has the idea of concentrating your gaze, which also means to look away from other things so that you can focus all your attention on just one object. So to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ means to do exactly that, to just forget everything and to look straight at the Lord Jesus Christ because He's the one object of your attention. Now, it might interest us to know that when the writer of Hebrews wrote this particular section of his letter to his readers and admonished them to fix their eyes on Jesus, the picture that he wanted them to see here is that of a runner who competes in an athletic contest. Now, when the gun sounds, the runner starts running as hard as he can. He does not look back, nor does he look around, but this runner keeps on running. He keeps on keeping his eyes on this finish line until he crosses that finish line and wins the top prize. So this is the picture that the writer of Hebrews wanted us to see in this verse. And if we translate this into our context today, to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, especially as we face the new year 2012, demands a continuous and sustained action on our part, like a seafarer in rough seas closely watching his compass to make sure that he stays on course. This basically touches all that we do, and perhaps the question that we need to address even as we are confronted with this demand is this: what fills our gaze, or what preoccupies us this new year 2012? Is it really our Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, or could it be anything else? A story is told of a man who hired an experienced guide to lead him on a hike into the Swiss Alps. After many hours, they came to a high and remote mountain pass. Now, to the man's dismay, he saw that path had almost been washed out. To his left was a sheer rock cliff, and to his right, a precipice that dropped nearly 1,000 feet. Now, looking down, the man felt his head growing faint and his knees beginning to buckle, and at that moment, his guide shouted, "Do not look down, or you are a dead man. Keep your eyes on me, and where I put my feet, put yours there as well." And the man did as he was instructed, and soon passed from danger to safety. Church, at the beginning of a new year, I believe that this is the same thing all of us here need to do. Because the truth of the matter is that not a single person here can claim that he or she knows exactly what's going to happen this year. Now, how many of you can know exactly what's going to happen even this afternoon? No! Not a single person here knows exactly what's going to happen this year. We all may have our plans and dreams for this year, but when you really come to think of it, we don't have control as to what lies ahead for any of us. You see, the time and the seasons of life are in God's hands. And whether we like it or not, sooner or later, we will all come to a dangerous path this year where the way ahead seems to be washed out. And at that moment, when we come to that dangerous path, when we come to a very difficult situation, at that moment, we can choose to panic and fall into terrible trouble, or we can fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, mark carefully steps before us, and find at the end of this year that we have been kept safe by His amazing grace. Again, all that we need to do this year is to fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ, who, as the author of Hebrews describes, is the author and perfecter of our faith. So as we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, we have to realize that He is the author and perfecter of our faith. And being the author and perfecter of our faith means three important things for us. Firstly, it means that Jesus Christ laid the foundation for our faith by His death and His resurrection and made salvation possible for us. Remember, we celebrated Christmas a few days ago. Christmas started the redemptive plan of God in history when God became a baby, when He dwelt among us, when He became flesh, that started God's plan of salvation for us. So Jesus Christ laid that foundation for our faith by His death and resurrection and made salvation possible. Secondly, it also means when Jesus Christ, when we describe Jesus Christ as the author and the perfecter of our faith, it also means that He provided the perfect example for us to follow, in that He trusted God perfectly. In the case of being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, as well as in the case of His Garden of Gethsemane experience, where He had to deal with the imminent reality of intense suffering on the cross, no one was ever tested like our Lord Jesus Christ was, and no one ever passed the test like He did. So Jesus Christ is setting the example for us. He says, you know what, if you go through a difficult situation, follow Me, because I've been through testing myself, and I have succeeded in overcoming the testing. Third and lastly, when we describe Jesus Christ as the author and perfecter of our faith, it means that He gives us the faith we need when we feel like giving up. I know how many of you felt like giving up last year because of your problems, because of the difficulties. You felt like giving up. But here, in this particular verse, the writer of Hebrews tells us that because Jesus Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith, that it means that He gives us the faith that we need when we feel like giving up. And true faith comes from Jesus Christ, because faith itself is a gift from God above. So in Jesus Christ, we always find everything we need. And as one pastor has pointed out, Jesus Christ plus nothing equals everything. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ plus nothing equals everything. So the first thing that we need to do, even as we are reminded from this particular verse, as we face the new year, let us fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, who is the author of the Hebrews, says here, is the author and perfecter of our faith. The second thing that we need to be reminded about as we face the new year 2012 is that fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, it entails following His example of endurance when the situation is difficult. Let me say that again. First thing that we need to do, let's fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. Second thing that we're reminded about, fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ entails following His example of endurance when the situation is difficult. Again, in verse 2, we read these words, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. What did He say here? The author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Now, the word cross, which the writer of Hebrews mentions in this verse, speaks of pain. He speaks of suffering, of shame, of ridicule, of rejection, and ultimate public humiliation. Crucifixion at the time of our Lord Jesus Christ meant a slow, agonizing death that often lasted for days. So crucifixion did not last only for an hour or 2 hours, but it lasted for several days. And it was the worst kind of torture reserved only for the very worst criminals. Now, if there was nothing beautiful or humane about death on a cross, the reason why our Lord Jesus Christ endured the pain and despised the shame of the crucifixion was because of the joy that would be His afterward. So Jesus Christ was not looking at this suffering at the moment, but He was looking forward to the joy that would be his after his crucifixion. And this joy includes the following. Number one, it is the joy of obedience to his Father's will. Number two, it is the joy of completing the work of redemption. Number three, it is the joy of bringing great glory to his Father. And number four, it is the joy of winning the battle against sin, against Satan, against death, and against hell. So this was the joy that our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross for. And aren't you glad that Jesus Christ suffered on our behalf? Because Jesus Christ suffered on our behalf, we have salvation today. Because John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 declare, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." So this was the joy that our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross for. And if we translate this into our context today, what this means for us is that fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ requires being willing to endure pain and suffering in order to know the joy of fulfilling God's will for our lives. And if we take this phrase and put it in words that our Lord Jesus Christ might have said, it looks something like this. I want the joy of seeing my Father's house in heaven filled with redeemed children. Church, the reason why Jesus Christ had to go through suffering on the cross of Calvary was because he wanted his Father's house in heaven to be filled with redeemed children. Those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior are now part of God's kingdom. We are redeemed children of God, and that was because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Jesus Christ said, I am willing to suffer the pain and shame of a brutal death on a cross. Just let me ask you this question. Do you want the joy of seeing your loved ones? Do you want the joy of seeing your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your classmates, your even fellow church members? Do you want the joy of seeing them in heaven someday? Do you want to have this kind of joy this year? If you do, then fix your eyes on Jesus Christ and mark carefully his steps before you. Take note that following Jesus Christ demands the willingness to face the pain and the suffering that could be consequences of our Christian faith. You know what? If you're a Christian today, and you're not even going through pain and suffering because of your faith, then I doubt if you're really living out your Christianity. If you say that you're a Christian, and then people are not persecuting you, the world is not persecuting you, then I doubt if you're really living out your Christianity. Because if you live your life as a Christian, one of the consequences of your Christianity is that you will be persecuted, you will go through pain and suffering. So if you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, it demands the willingness to face pain and suffering that could be consequences of your Christian witness, and also the willingness to turn away from a lifestyle that could be contrary to the will and the purpose of God. So if you say that you want to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ this year, then you must be willing to face the pain and the suffering that Christian witness brings, and you must also be willing to turn away from a lifestyle that is contrary to the will and the purpose of God for your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, what happens? He's a new creature. The old things are passed away. The old things have become new. So it is not possible that if you are a new creature in Christ, it is not possible that if you're a Christian, you are still living the old way of life. You're still stealing from others. You're still saying bad words. You're still being unfaithful to your wife. No, it's not possible. Because the Apostle Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away, things have become new. So if you want to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, take note that it demands your willingness to face pain and suffering as consequences of your witness, and it also demands the willingness to turn away from a lifestyle that is contrary to the will and the purpose of God. But you know what? If you keep on moving forward as Jesus Christ did, in the end, we have the satisfaction of knowing that it's all worth what we have gone through. Amen? It's all worth what we have gone through, and in the end, we will receive the greatest prize ever. Remember, a runner is fixing his eyes on Jesus Christ because he wants to cross that finish line and he wants to win the top prize. So even if we go through pain and suffering as a result of our Christian witness, even if we, it's hard for us sometimes to just turn away from our old lifestyle. You know what? In the end, it's all worth it because we will receive the greatest prize ever. This brings me to the third and final thing that we need to be reminded about as we face the new year. And it is that as we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, we have the blessed hope that will carry us through eternity. Amen? As we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, we have a blessed hope that will carry us through eternity. Not only for the year 2012, not only for the year 2013, but through eternity. If we go back to verse 2, in the third part of this verse, we learn that after Jesus Christ endured the cross and scorned its shame, what happened? After Jesus Christ went through all this, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So church, if you ask me where Jesus Christ is right now, where's Jesus Christ right now? My answer is that he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, after dying on the cross of Calvary, after resurrecting from the dead, after ascending to heaven, is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he's seated at the place of supreme honor in the universe where he is afforded all glory and praise. What this means then for us, who have already accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, is that we have a friend in high places who can help us in our time of need. How many of you would want a friend like that? A friend in high place. How many of you would want to be a friend of President Barack Obama? Because if you're a friend of President Barack Obama, you can just come to him whenever you need help. And I know that as President of the United States of America, as President of the most powerful nation in the entire world, he can do something about your problem, right? But he's Jesus Christ. He's over and above President Barack Obama. He's over and above even the greatest leader in this entire world. Because as the Bible says, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And if we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then we have a friend in high places who can help us in our time of need. But more than having a friend in high places, if we have Jesus Christ in our lives right now, if we have accepted him as our personal Lord and Savior, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, also tells us that since we are joined with Christ by faith in a living union, we are seated with him in heaven right now. So do you realize that, church? You know, you lose a lot of things if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart. You can say that you're a Christian by mouth, but then you could never be a Christian deep in your heart because you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. But they know the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that if we are in Jesus Christ, what happens? We are joined with him by faith in a living union. And because we're joined in him by faith in a living union, we are seated with him in heaven right now. So we are not there yet, right? But reality tells us, on the basis of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we have that position with Jesus Christ in heaven right now. So even if we are engaged in the battles of this life each and every day, how many of you are engaged in the battles of this life each and every day? We've just heard Ate Amos here. Illnesses for Tatang Jerry and Adana Isunsyon. We have family problems. We have financial problems. We have problems with our kids. We have problems in school. We have problems even with fellow church members. So if you're engaged, even if you're engaged in the battles of this life each and every day, dealing with the aches, the pains, the suffering, and the tears that this life brings, the assurance we have is that from God's point of view, because we already have that relationship with Jesus Christ, from God's point of view, we are already victorious. Amen? From God's point of view, we are never defeated. From God's point of view, because we have Jesus Christ in our hearts, we are already victorious. And someday, they know, church, Jesus Christ came for the first time during Christmas, right? But someday when Jesus Christ comes again, someday when we see Jesus Christ face to face, all that is His will become ours. As the Word of God clearly states, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So someday when Jesus Christ comes again, when we see Him face to face, if we have that personal relationship with Him, all that is His will become ours. Because as the Word of God clearly says, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Therefore, our great hope is that as we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ this year, one day soon, we will finish, we will cross that finish line, and we will be seated with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven for all eternity. How many of you would want that? How many of you would want to seat with Jesus Christ in heaven for all eternity? How many of you would want to cross that finish line? I know that some of us here will cross that finish line first, ahead of us. But if we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, all of us will cross that finish line someday. Listen to these words that T.E. Marsh wrote in The Fullness That Is in Christ, and I quote, "In Christ there is full acceptance, therefore do not doubt Him. In Christ there is peace, therefore trust Him. In Christ there is life, therefore abide in Him. In Christ there is blessing, therefore delight in Him. In Christ there is light, therefore follow Him. In Christ there is power, therefore wait on Him. In Christ there is all truth, therefore learn from Him. In Christ there is grace, therefore receive from Him. In Christ there is joy, therefore rejoice in Him. In Christ there is unlimited wealth, therefore depend on Him." You want to get the satisfaction of enjoying even the material possessions of this life, not just the material possessions of this life, but spiritual possessions, come to Jesus Christ. You don't have to work that hard to get a new house. You don't want to work that hard to get a new car. You don't have to work that hard to enjoy these material possessions in this world, because if you have Christ, you have everything. In Christ, there is unlimited wealth, therefore depend on Him. Don't depend on anything else. Don't depend even on your jobs, because sometimes your jobs will go away, right? You have it now, but tomorrow you'll be out of work. So don't depend on your jobs. Don't depend on your material possessions. Don't depend on your beautiful homes. Don't depend on your good health. But depend on Jesus Christ. And then in Christ, there is strength. Therefore, lean on. Let me close by asking you this question. Do you have what it takes to face this dream? Do you have what it takes? Church, God's Word has reminded us today that everything we need for the new year 2012, we will find in our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything! Remember? Jesus Christ plus nothing equals. So everything that we need for the new year, we will find in Jesus Christ. He has all the hope, all the love, all the grace, all the power, all the strength, all the wisdom, all the patience, all the guidance, all the encouragement, all the joy, all the endurance, all the gentleness, all the forgiveness, all the determination, all the submission, and all the boldness and all the meekness that we have. Every virtue is in Jesus Christ. Every good thing we need, He has. And what makes His truth all the more wonderful is that what our Lord Jesus Christ has, He willingly gives to us, even right now, through the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, when we accepted Jesus Christ, what is one gift that He gave to us? The gift of the Holy Spirit. So everything that Jesus Christ has, we can have it through the power of His Holy Spirit right now. But then there's like one qualifier. Don't dream about it. Don't even imagine about it. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, all these can never be. It's only in Jesus Christ that we can have the inheritance of heaven, even now and forevermore. So my prayer for all of us here on this very first day of another year is that no one will falter in the race that is set before us. And no one will drop out. We hear of our friends, we hear of our church members dropping out of church because get discouraged. But no one will drop out because of discouragement, because of doubt. Have you ever doubted God's goodness? You know what? Don't. Because God is good all the time. So why doubt Him? Because He's been faithful to you. So I hope that not one of us here will drop out because of discouragement, because of doubt, because of despair, because of anger, because of bitterness. Sometimes we feel bad towards a church member has hurt us. I won't go to church anymore. When I see that person's face, I just can't worship God. Are you worshiping that person? No! You're worshiping God. So why rob yourself of the blessed opportunity to worship God? So I hope that no one falls, gives up this year because of discouragement, because of doubt, because of despair, because of anger, because of bitterness. Our Lord Jesus Christ has already run the race before us. Amen? He is the captain of our salvation and is the savior of our souls. So my one thing that I would like for us to do today at the start of this year, let us fix our eyes on. Let us fix our eyes on the author, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him towards the cross, scorning its shame. And where He is, where is He right now? Sat down, throne, the right hand. Let us fix our eyes on you. Know what? Fix our eyes on you. Not on Pastor. Not on Pastor Rick. Not on our elders or our deacons. Not even on our fellow church member. Because sometimes a fellow church member can disappear. Fix your eyes on Jesus. All will be well.